Have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our message this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Ephesians 6, 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Psalm 103, 13, like as a father pitieth his children, and so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Hear ye children in Proverbs 4, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Genesis 18, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Colossians, fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. Proverbs, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Again in Proverbs, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Psalm 78 says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. In the book of Luke, it says, and he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I have no greater joy, the Bible says in 3 John 1, verse 4, than to hear that my children walk in truth. A father of the fathers and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven, in the book of Matthew tells us. A good man, Proverbs 13 says, leaveth an inheritance to his children, children's children, and the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. Proverbs 3, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Matthew 7, or what man is there of you whom his son, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Malachi 2:10 says, have we not all one father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother? By profaning the covenant of our fathers. Heavenly Father, we pray now these next few moments. I ask that you'd hide me behind the glorious message of the cross. I pray we'd see some men raise up in our church and in our community, in our area. And Lord, just in our homes that would love you and put you first. Lord, I pray we would be able, that you would know where we are at and who we are and what we're doing. We're doing it for you. And Lord, we give you the praise and for everything that's said and done today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dad, where are you at? Dad, where are you? I could probably go through my text messages and either my wife will say, honey, where are you? Or my children say, Dad, what are y'all doing? Where are you at? And once you get a certain age, then they start checking on you like they did back when you checked on them as teenagers. Let me know what I'm talking about. Dad, y'all been out all night long. Are y'all ever coming home? Kind of flip-flops after a few years. And I think all of us have had that time. And I think as a pastor, and I think as Christianity today and in our churches and just in our whole society, we see the differences, don't we? I saw a picture that showed the typical man in 1940s at 19, he'd been in a world war. The typical man at 19 in this age, he's a snowflake in need of a safe place. Men have changed. I mean, it's a different time now. Now they have to be told when to pull the britches up. Amen. I mean, it's a different world, and we lament this. But why is that? Why have our men? Why? By the way, we say our ladies too. It's just Father's Day today. Hey, Dad, where are you? And you can tell. And sometimes we give directions, and I'm going to give you four things, and we're going to see this in our text today. We can tell where Daddy is and where our men is. Let me give you number one, by where they are looking. If you look with me in the book of Genesis chapter 13, we see two men and we see where they're looking. And you can tell a lot today by our men and our culture, by where we are looking. Look with me, and there's just two different people. I'm going to give you four of these and give you some thoughts, and I'll let you go home. But number one, we see where they are looking, or where I am looking. Dad, where are you at? I can tell where you're at because of where you're looking. Some of you may have given directions. I don't know where I'm at. I know right now I'm looking at the big oak tree. You know, you're on some property somewhere. So where are you at right now? Well, I don't know exactly where I am. I'm looking at this, or I'm doing, and we give that direction. You can tell where somebody's at about where they're looking. Look in Genesis chapter 13, and we'll see here, first of all, we see where Lot was looking. Look in Genesis chapter 13, starting at verse 6. The Bible says, I think I'm right, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, in verse 8, Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my brethren and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. By the way, sometimes we got to remember, we be brethren. Amen. I like that. That's a whole message. But verse 9 says, it's not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And Lot, look what it says in verse 10. And y'all know this. You're familiar with this. Remember, this is Abraham and Lot. And I'm going to give you all the backstory. Most of you are pretty familiar with it. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So we see here that Lot looked at Sodom. And we know, obviously, later on, because of where Lot was looking, because of where he was focusing on, that his life ended up becoming really a wreck because of where he was looking. And the Bible says here, he says, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan. We're living in a time, most of us know this, that our culture is looking in the wrong directions. We're looking at everything except the answers that God gives us in his holy word. Even in church today, we've got folks that are looking somewhere besides the word of God. So we see here that, where am I looking? Well, what's the difference? Well, look at it says here in verse 14 and 15. Of this same chapter, the Bible says this, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look. And you notice here it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now, here's where am I looking? Number one, we can tell where our man, hey, Dad, where are you at? You can tell where Dad's at by where is he looking at. Lot was looking at Sodom. Abram here was looking where God told him to look. Now, let me defend Lot in a fleshly way if I can as your preacher. Many of us would have done the same thing because where Lot looked made more sense. Where Lot looked was cooler. Where Lot looked was more popular. Where Lot had it right here was what the Lord said, man, that's got to be the right thing. I mean, that was the well. It says here that they were the well-watered plains. I mean, this made sense for a herdsman. But Lot, you never see Lot ever ask God. You never see him never defer to his older uncle. You never see him ever talk about what God wants in his life. He just simply says, that's what I want, and I'm going to go that direction. And Abraham, the Bible says in verse 14, and the Lord said to Abram, I'm going to give you something that's way better. And by the way, let me say something to you, churches. Let me say something to you, dads and men. We got to make sure that we keep our eyes on what God wants and not what man wants. Not even what we want. Not what makes sense sometimes. See, we want everything to make sense. We want everything to figure out for us. We want everything to fit in our box. And by the way, ladies, men, everybody, it don't matter whether you're men or not, we got to make sure if where we are at, we have to make sure lines up with what God wants in our lives. Have to make sure of that. What does God want? Not what we think or what the world may say. And I'm sure somebody said, man, Abraham, he's getting the short end of the deal. Let me ask you something. Do you think God's going to give him the short end of the deal? Do you think our Lord is going to give us? Let me say something to you, friend. We're on our way to heaven. If you're saved and you've been blessed and saved and God's saved you from an eternal hell, let me say something to you, friend, this morning. You think we're getting a short end of the stick of what this old world has to offer? I promise you that's not the case. And I know they'll make fun and they'll make light and they'll look at us like we're wrong. And boy, I understand all that thing. But guess what, friend? If you go with God, you are on the right team, friend. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, you and God make the majority. You and God make the majority this morning. You do what God wants you to do, you're doing right. Don't you listen to the crowd. Don't you listen to the world. And don't you even listen to your own self. Be very careful even what your own eyes see. Right here, you want to go to Lot and say, Lot, don't do it, Lot. Lot, that's a wicked place. Lot, you're going to put yourself in a position. Lot, don't go that direction. Here we see, we can tell where Dad is by what he's looking at. Number two, write this down. By where he's living at. Hey, Dad, where are you living? Hey, man, hey, we say this, all of us, where are we living at? If you'll take your Bible, turn with me over just a couple of chapters here in Genesis 19. I know I'm preaching through Genesis on Sunday night. Genesis chapter 19, we're going to see here. Where are you living at? Where are you living? In Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, we see where Lot was living. The Bible says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Here we see in this passage that Lot was in Sodom in the middle of wickedness. Where are you living at, Dad? Where are you living at, church? Where are you living at, Christian? Where are you living at? Now, the Bible tells us that Lot was a saved man in the New Testament, vexed his righteous soul day by day. But the Bible says here, it says, it came to the angel of Sodom. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Not only where am I looking, where Dad's at, not only where is he looking, but where is he living at? Abraham was living in the land that God had promised. But Lot was living in the middle of wickedness. You know, we're living in a time that we don't even allow to tell something today is wicked. Everything is relative. Nothing is right. Nothing is wrong. The most popular preachers and ministries are preachers and ministries that will not preach against wickedness. This week I've been watching an old preacher that died a few years ago that has just about become a hero to me because he stood up and he thundered out the truth. And I thought, God help me, I want to be the man of God that stands and preaches the truth. I want my children and grandchildren to say, you know what, they may have shot at him. He may not have been the most popular, but he stood for truth and right. Because when I watched that man, I don't know how many he had in his church. I don't know what influence he had. He was become very famous. But one thing I do know is that when he stood and preached the truth, I knew he was doing what God wanted him to do. And I'm going to tell you what we need is dads and men that, hey, it might make everybody mad. Hey, they might try to shoot at you on a baseball field. They may try to come at you. And we may not be the most popular, but somebody somewhere has got to stand for truth. And Abraham was a man that stood for truth, and he was living where God had promised him to live. And by the way, if God promises, he's going to take care of you. And of course, Lot was living right in the middle of sickness. The Bible says he was at Sodom's gate. Now, remember now, Sodom was not the coolest town around. This wasn't just a few nice restaurants on vacation. This wasn't just where everybody was just kind of, you know, gathering at the beach or in the mountains to have a little fun. This isn't just some big city and it's innocent and there's no, Brother Dallas, you're preaching against sin. Let me tell you something, friend. Sodom and Gomorrah was as wicked can be. And like much of our country and much of our culture today, it's from the pits of hell. Where are you living at, Dad? Are you living on that edge? Are you living right there in Tyson? Man, Brother Dallas, if I'll be honest with you, I'm living in downtown. I'm on Sin Boulevard. I'm on Wickedness Avenue. I mean, I've got so many things in my life, I'd make Sodom and Gomorrah blush. Let me say something to you. We need now more than ever some men. Hey, this in our culture, you know, this is Gay Pride Month. I've got social media things that come up and it's got all these little stickers, you know, pride, gay pride. I thought, man, honey, why are y'all pushing this so much? And our ancestors, some of our brothers and sisters across the pond in these other countries fought this 25 and 30 years ago and America was asleep. And as we approach the end time, and I'm thinking about having a meeting just on end time prophecy, things that are going on. And now we're seeing it all in our culture. And 25, 30 years ago, we kind of snoozed at some of those preachers. Oh, man, they're overreacting. as they were overtaking the courts and they were making everything okay. Listen, it's nothing today to see homosexuality everywhere. And man, nobody wants to say it. Brother Dowson, don't be too mean on that. And the Bible's clear on it. And part of it is the effeminizing of the American male. Not only the American male, the Christian male. We can't really be men anymore. What's wrong with us? Why? Where am I looking? Where am I living? Number three, real quickly. Where am I leading? If you look in Genesis chapter 19, we're going to see two different directions. Where am I leading? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 19, verse 14. If you'll drop down and look at this with me real quickly, church, this morning. And Lot went out and spake to him, unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And then a very sad statement that's made in the Bible. Look what it says. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Y'all catch that? He seems as one that mocked. It just reminds me of the dads and the men that say, here, children, you live this way, I'm going to live that way. There's a famous painting by Norman Rockwell back in whenever he was alive. I don't forget the years when he died, but y'all know what I'm talking about. He used to paint the paintings for the cover of Saturday Evening Post. There's a famous painting, and it's a dad sitting in a chair, and he's got his newspaper and his pipe, you know, and the wife and the children are dressed to the T. They're going to church. And they're looking down on the dad. He's crunched down trying to hide from the mama as they walk by. I look like, Dad, why aren't you bringing us to church? It's a famous painting. It's really, I mean, obviously Norman Rockwell is an extremely talented artist, but I've always thought about that. That's a sad drawing. It is sad to think about where we are leading. And if you look in verse 14 here, it said, but he seemed as those that mocked his sons-in-law. When that dad raises up and says, son, it's time for you to live right and act godly, they're going to look at as one that mocked. Who are you, Dad? Tell me that. Who are you, preacher? Who are you, church leader, man in my life, uncle, whoever it may be? Many of you are male figures in other people's lives. He couldn't lead his family. Look down at verse 17 here real quickly. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the mountain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Drop down to verse 26 real quickly, just for sake of time. But his wife, how many of y'all know this, verse 26? But his wife looked what? Looked back and behind, and she became a pillar of what? Now remember, Jesus said this. We say, well, that's in the Old Testament. We don't know if that really took place. I remind you, I saw a picture of the Dead Sea, and there was a branch in the Dead Sea. It looked like, to me, it had like 3 inches. I mean, I wasn't there measuring it, of course, but it looked like it had a 3-inch crust of salt on top of it. It's so salty there in that Dead Sea. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember, the people said, well, that's in the Old Testament. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. In other words, he believed it, didn't he? You say, what do you mean, Brother House? He couldn't leave his family, and he couldn't leave his wife. In fact, it's the famous, I mean, we know it's the famous story of Lot's wife. She was going out, and she had so, all they did, all the Lord did, said, don't look back. Just don't look back. She couldn't help herself. She had to get one last glance. She had to get that one last time of looking back of what she'd fallen in love with. You can tell where Dad is at by where he's leading. I mean, it's no secret today. Hey, men, let's look around and we see what's going on with our teenage girls. And everybody blames mom. Let me tell you who I blame. Don't y'all get mad at me. I blame Daddy. Yeah. We say, well, I tell you what, these women livers are out of control. Well, if men would show up and do what they're supposed to do, they might calm down. We need to quit blaming everybody else for our fault. It's me. Hey, you know how many times, I don't know if y'all have ever done this before, but I've went and prayed and said, now, Lord, I want you to straighten out my life, straighten out my kids. You know what the Lord does? Straightens me out. You got to give an account. You need to get your act together. I'll take care of them. You get right, Dad. You can tell where Dad's at. But I want you to look at the difference when you leave right. Look over Genesis chapter 22. Oh, my. Genesis chapter 22, real quickly now, church. This is wonderful now. I could preach right here a whole different message. The Bible says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his what? Son. Who's the father? Abraham. Who's the son? Isaac. And he took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught on a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Where am I leading? Isaac followed Abraham humbly. Well, it's two different pictures of these son-in-laws in Lot, or with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. This ungodly, heathenistic Jezebel wife that looks back into Sodom. And Isaac who says, Dad, where's the lamb? Oh, man, that we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I say something to you dads this morning? I don't want you to go over here thinking you're the hero. You know who the hero in this scene is? It's not Abraham. I can feel a little chill coming over now. Y'all right? I'm going to tell you who the hero is here. It's the lamb. You want to know your kids are leading the right direction? Hey, we're too worried. Don't misunderstand me. Don't get mad. I'm an educator. We're too worried about education. We're too worried about bank account. We're too worried about success when we ought to be concerned about the lamb. It ain't going to matter how much money they have and how famous and how popular they are. When I saw that car come by right in front of this, his alma mater school and this church, and we stood by and held up the flag for Aaron Crook, free, and all of a sudden it didn't matter to Whitney and them babies anymore. It didn't matter that he graduated PCO or that he was a successful policeman. It didn't matter what his retirement was. It didn't matter. Nothing. All that mattered was, did he know the Lord? Let me go across this building and say to you dads, and look, I love studying the history, and I appreciate all those things. I read the plaques. I love all that type of thing. But it don't matter what's on the plaque. What matters is, does the Lord know you? Where am I leading? And then, what is my legacy? Hey, Dad, what's your legacy? In Genesis chapter 19, look at Lot's legacy. Look what he left behind. You know what I was thinking? What did your dad leave? And people think about the wheel and how much money they're going to get. Look what Lot left behind. In Genesis 19, verse 32 through 34. Y'all okay? Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that he might. That night, the Bible says, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesterday with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. We know the story. Those were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. What a legacy. It was a legacy of immorality. If you study the lineage of these two boys and the enemies that they become to the cause of Christ, or to the things of God, I should say, become enemies of God's people. What a legacy, a legacy of immorality. You know, today it's popular to look as heathenistic and as ungodly and as unruly as you can. That's the cool dads in our community. That's the cool dads even in church, to look as worldly and as horrible as we can possibly look and act. And I say to you this morning, what a legacy. What a legacy we're leaving to our children. Not only our children, but our grandchildren, not only our grandchildren, but to those around us. Some of the biggest influences in my life as men, I wasn't even kin to them. I listened to them. I looked to them. As a young man, I said, well, I want to be like that. And what a legacy. But you can read the Bible about Isaac, don't you? The Bible tells us that Isaac was a son that loved and respected his father and followed God. Here we see and we don't even hardly have to talk about it next time. We see the wickedness of incest. I mean, can it get any worse? I mean, how that's still ungodly even by today's standards. That's what took place, and the Bible tells you right there. That's how wickedness, when it brought its fruit, we said, man. But then on the other side, we see a son like Isaac. We see a son that listened to his father, that loved his father. And we see the two, hey, Dad, where are you at? Abraham was in a good spot. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not going to sit here and say Abraham was perfect. We're not going to say Isaac is perfect. We're not going to say everybody in here that's born again and saved is perfect. Hey, but by the grace of God, hey, I sure thank God for his forgiveness, for his love, and for his compassion. And even when dads mess up or blow it or get things out of kilter, aren't you glad that we got a God in heaven that forgives and straightens our life out? But I submit to you this morning, unless we have a God in our life that we submit to and straightens our life out. Friend, we are not the hero. He is the hero. There's nothing good in us. Every great dad that I've ever been around, I mean the truly great dad, said, don't look at me. Look to the God in heaven that changed my life. Abraham didn't say, oh, don't worry, son. I've got everything together. You know, every dad has that, don't you? Like, oh, I'll figure it out, son. I'll figure it out. Abraham said, no. God will provide a lamb. Hey, Dad, I remember my boys were little. I remember Houston when he was little. One time he said this to me, probably don't remember it. I said, why did you do that for? I was so dumb. Anybody here ever go through a dumb part when you were a dad and you was dumb? Hey, can I say something to y'all dads and y'all's mom? I've got the dumber as I got older. Anybody know what I'm talking about? By the way, usually people tell you that too, don't they? That's right, Brother House. You're getting dumber as you get older. But I remember, I looked at all my kids, like every child went through this. And I would ask them, I always wanted to think about what I said, why did you do that? Well, that's a question, ain't it? Why did you do that? Whatever it was. And I remember it broke my heart as a dad. I've never heard this, and I still don't know how to answer it, but I understood it because of who I am. I don't know why. I remember as a dad, it breaking my heart because how many times have I done something against God? And somebody said, man, why'd you do that? My Heavenly Father, I don't know. I just need you. I don't know. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I wasn't who I am. You see, I see Lot saying, I've got it all figured out. I see Abraham saying, Father, I don't know. I'm not a good dad. I don't know how to be a good man, but I know a great God. See, that's the key, church. We got so many folks here, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I've got this part and I've got this schedule. We got to look to a great God in heaven and say, God, what do you want? I saw the son of this preacher I've been listening to this week. He's in politics. And to hear that man talk and know his dad, I thought that older preacher wasn't just a great man. He was a great dad. Because that boy's sitting there and he's saying the exact same thing his dad said. And I could tell he had listened to his daddy. God's still using him. Wouldn't it be something for our men, our young men, these boys to raise up and say, you know what, I want to be like, and you put your name right there. I want to be the man God uses. Brother, outside messed up. Let me tell you something, friend. You look at Abraham and Isaac's life, they messed up. But they looked to God. They looked to God. Let me give you some points here. We'll go home. Number one, let me say this. Dad, where are you? Brother Dallas, where are you? Austin, where are you? Brother Gerald, where are you? Brother Ray, I go across this building. Where are you at? I mean, we're all over the place, aren't we? Sometimes, man, we're on fire for God. Sometimes, I wish I could say, man, I'm on fire for God. Everything's going great all the time. And, man, I woke up this morning feeling fine. Hey, I'd be lying to you. Dad, where are you? Are you where you need to be? Are you leading your home? Hey, men. Hey, ladies, let me say this. Where are you? You know, the biggest thing I've realized is a lot of you ladies are raising men. Where are you? Secondly, we already mentioned, someone mentioned again, our culture. Can I say this? Our churches, hey, our homes, our young people. I really believe this with all of my heart. Our girls have a dad problem. We've got a men problem. And I don't mean this to be mean to anybody. I think all of us agree with it. I think there's people out in the world that are in the secular, they'd never read the Bible, they'd never take what we believe, but they realize, hey, we've got an issue here. We got women and young people that are dressing and acting and doing things, and why are they? Because dad is conspicuously absent from that home. Thirdly, this is the great hope today. Hey, dad, where you at? It don't have to stay that way. I mean, can you imagine some of y'all been on vacation, man? You're kind of, hey, I'm up here at the end of the road. I don't even know where I'm at. I'm on a deck. Where are we at? Be on a boat. And I said, well, Dad, we're going to ping you on our GPS. We're going to try to find you. Sometimes you get lost. I went out on a boat one time with my phone out in the middle of a body of water. And I was like, what in the world? I could see the land. That's all I knew. But I didn't know where I was at. Has anyone ever been anywhere you didn't really know where you were at? Been on a street, been on a road. And by the way, man, we do not ask for directions. Amen. We're not going to do that. But can I say something to you this morning? We need to look to God and say, God, I need your direction. How many of y'all men have ever had your wife say this? Honey, stop and ask somebody. There's a gas station right up here. And we probably act like we're Magellan and Christopher Columbus, and we're going to find out where it's at. Honey, I'm going to get to that, Ma. I'm sure of it. And hey, let me say something to you. If we're not careful, we'll use that mentality of silliness, and it'll hurt us when it comes to seeking God. I had a man several years ago. His children, this is a long time ago. I hadn't been here very long. In fact, I'm not even sure I was on staff yet. And his children were in our Christian school, and I dearly love them. Long, long time ago. They don't even around here anymore, I don't believe. Now, I remember he's standing in our Christian school, and his children got in trouble. He had to correct them. After his kids walked out, he kind of hung his head. He said, Brother Dallas, I don't know how to be a dad. And I'm going, honey, if you don't know, I thought his kids were pretty good kids. They were not perfect kids. But I remember thinking, God, how many of us really don't know what we're doing? But can I say something to you? None of us really know. I'm saying to you this morning, Dad, where are you? And if you're not where you need to be, it don't have to stay that way. I put this down, I wrote this down, I hope the Lord will give it to me. Turn on the real GPS. Turn on the real, you see, here's the thing, old Lot went over there in Sodom and Gomorrah. We knew where he was at, but God was with Abraham. See, it doesn't matter whether everybody thinks it's popular. In fact, let me say this, some of the best testimonies I've ever heard is after a dad or a papa is dead and gone. I said, man, I tell you what, that man had an influence on my life to my dying day. He don't even know it. He's gone. But that is real. When we look at Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, most of us, when we think of Lot, our faces crinkle up and say, Lot, ugh. Ain't gonna be like Lot. Oh, man, Brother Dallas, I don't know much about the Bible. I know Sodom and Gomorrah's a mess. I know that can't be right. When we think of Abraham, we think of Isaac, we think of sacrifice, we think of the Lamb. We think of Abraham being in the hall of faith, where the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, believe God. What I want to say to you this morning, church, as men, as families, as dads, as husbands, wherever you're at, by faith, put your name there, believe God. In fact, let me say something to you, you're not going to be saved if you don't do that. And if you are saved, you're not going to be what God wants you to be. And you're not going to be where you need to be. Dad, where are you? Dad, where are you? Let's all stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for our people.